Season 2, Episode 8, The Truth About Fibroids. Do you really need surgery, girlfriend?
Hey!
Expect more and pay less from Target this week. Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show is brought to you by Target. Come on, people, who doesn't shop at Target? Look, because Target's got it all on sale this week. There's something for everyone to save, especially with the big game coming. Target is offering these great deals starting today, which is January 28th. So we got the 20% rule going on. You'll get 20% off apparel and accessories. It's valid from January 28th to February 3rd. Then you get 20% off all Sugar Fix. And that's bubble bar jewelry. Again, January 28th, but it's gone for a little longer until February 14th. Next, 15% off grills and outdoor cooking for all you chefs or master chefs in the making for the big game. Starting today through February 3rd, you will get that discount. And lastly, you'll get a free $10 gift card when you buy any three products from Charmin, Tide, Gain, Bounty, Bounce, Downy, and more. Sounds like the cleanup crew after the game, the big game this week, and you're going to need all of those things. That sale starts from January 28th right until February 3rd. And who doesn't need all of that stuff? I know I can. Definitely use some of that. To get this and more, you want to go to the Target shopping link on the Keep It 100 Girl Podcast.com page. And you're going to look for the podcast page, or if you want to do it all on your phone, which I totally get, just click on the show notes on your phone for that Target shopping link. All right, in case you missed it, last week's episode, you got to check it out because my whole theme for January is all about speaking your truths and just finding that fear-setting goal for 2018. And on a personal level, it just means being more in tune with your gut, right? And tapping into the fear and the anxieties that go along with those things that make you squirm. And that's what you want to focus on for this year. Things that make you squirm and sweat. Because you'll only see self-improvement through achieving, I guess, higher heights and overcoming those fears and anxieties. The other truthful moment comes from the whole Me Too and Time's Up movement. And I'm using my platform to break down and empower women. Look, not just to go to a man's hotel, dorm, house, condo. I don't understand why women do it, but we all do it. We've done it and we've learned from it. So it's not pointing fingers or casting blame. It's just indicating to this generation, and really, I mean, all generations, it sends the wrong viral message to men. I mean, if you waver on saying no in those ambiguous situations, then you might want to listen to this episode because I give you some real key personal advice and tips that you could use when you're in those, I don't know, ambiguous situations. Fast forward to today's topic. It's actually a women's health topic. You know I like to sprinkle these in. But one of my passions is all about wellness, body, and feminine health, and using my own experiences, like having fibroids, to share what a devastating and embarrassing discovery this has been. Not only that, just the ups and downs of having this condition. You know, I really consider myself a health nut, and learning that I had fibroids really made me kind of self-reflect on the choices I've made, I would say starting from 18 years old to present, whether it's birth control, whether it's food intake, and whether it's plastic, just being more conscious about what you put in your body, and obviously your blood type, because that really reveals what you should and should not be eating. Well, TikTok, my friend, I'm really being honest and real, as I usually am, every week, every month, every year, about my fibroid breakthrough. and nothing is off limits in this raw, real, emotional conversation. This episode is for those of you who want to focus and learn more about the natural ways to cure fibroids. This, in no way, this episode that I'm doing, promotes surgery or advocates for surgery, right? I am advocating that you beat it naturally as best as you can. But naturally, if you still see some of the symptoms, and if it's a life-death condition, if you're trying to get pregnant, then seek medical attention. And, you know, I'm all about acupuncture, and so incorporate that into your regimen as well. Genetic factors aside, the whole purpose of this episode, I have another one, is to bring the known unknowns to light. You know, my band-aids, my embarrassing moments, and the breakthroughs that are common to all of us who have it. I say that to say it's an ongoing process. Don't think that what I'm recommending is just a plug. It's just a one-stop shop to being your solution. No, you're never done with this, as far as I'm concerned, until menopause. That whole menopause M-train thing kicks in full time and shrinks these bad boys for good. And whether you like it or not, the plumbing changes after 30. So think of it like this. I refer to it as the garbage in, garbage out process. It takes a toll. And if you're not careful, it's going to show up big time, especially if you're prone to getting fibroids or any menstrual condition. So what you're going to learn in this episode is what doctors tell you and what they don't. Number two, the band-aids to cover up all those embarrassing moments. I call it the cover-up. Three, my easy breezy 1-2-3 recipes. So for those of you who follow me on Instagram, at Nina Babel, that's babe with an L, I will be sharing my 1-2-3 recipes and one bonus regimen that I use. But more importantly, I just launched IHaveFibroids.com. I want you guys to check it out because you could sign up and get that free download, 3 days worth of recipes in your email box, plus some other goodies. And then lastly, you're going to learn in this episode that it's a lifestyle change. It's the anti-estrogen lifestyle change. You are an estrogen dominant woman. So it's going to mean that you got to cut out some things for good or eat it in moderation. And by this, I'm saying no more meat. Well, kind of. And I'll explain later. And then lastly, your new reality from this point onwards. Like I said, it's a mindset. And you have to stick with it and stay disciplined in order for you to avoid surgery. After my annual OBGY appointment in 2014, I thought long and hard, like really long and hard, what could have happened to bring me down this road? And let's talk food for a second, because I cut the most poisonous hormone culprits from my diet. And I thought, okay, what's left? I narrowed it down to 5 things: birth control, non-organic chicken, processed food, fast food, caffeine, alcohol, and soy. So repeated intake of these things over time, I believe, were my biggest culprits. What the doctor tells you and what they don't. Depending on your age, OBGYN doctors will tell or give you 2 options to this whole fibroid thing. They'll give you a script with a quickness for birth control as an option to shrink, or they're going to tell you you can go for the surgery. It's in and out patient type surgery. And it's, they have laser surgery, so it's not that evasive. It's a little incision. But it all depends how many you have, right? It's up to you to be educated, to clap back with your own options and list of questions. In my case, I would say my naturopath and my acupuncturist were my lifesavers that I have to credit, because they're the ones who have proven to add more value to me and my health. I would say, definitely, I guess, has it been almost 20 years? Wow. Yeah, I guess it has. But in January 2014, I noticed something really, really strange. All of a sudden, my periods were getting heavy. I mean, to the point where I was leaving this Japanese flag on my bed, or I was just having these irreversible day two accidents. I had to reset. I grew up with a very, very textbook period. I mean, when you say easy breezy 1, 2, 3, that's what it was. No cramps. Oh, like an afterthought, like it's here. My period was one that came literally every 30 days. Boom. It lasted 5 days and no cramps. In fact, I don't think I even started getting cramps until I was in my 20s. But as a whole, I've led a pretty healthy living type of life. I mean, I was an athlete. Consider myself a clean eater. I always prescribe by, you know, 6 days right, 1 day wrong mantra. I stopped drinking dairy at the age of 13 after seeing how milk was manufactured. And then I think shortly after that, stopped eating beef and pork. Had to be like in my late teens, I stopped doing that. So I thought, this is weird. This is really weird though. I've never bled this much in like one day. Like even your day twos are your most heaviest, but this was like day two times two. And then it kept happening like month after month. And I'm like, oh, nah. You know, you have to listen to your body. And when your body gives you signals, you need to inquire. So at my next OBGYN appointment, I told my doctor these changes. You know, I had, you know, at this point, I'm in my late 30s and I'm just like, ah. Oh. But I got the canned doctor response that you will hear. Because, you know, once you're a black woman, you are pigeonholed to say, well, this is something that is experienced by most African-American women. And I'm like, well, I'm not African-American. Ha ha. I am Caribbean. Those are my roots. Yes, I live on your land of opportunity. But my DNA is Caribbean and backtracks to Africa and everywhere else, because I'm just a mix of everything. But no offense, I'm black, end of story. So regardless of the blanket statement, I guess I was just predestined to have this thing, true or not. I mean, those are the thoughts that kept going through my mind. So let's start from where I think it all began. And by then, in 2014, I was definitely off birth control. And I mentioned to my OBGYN that I was experiencing these kind of jabs around my ovaries on one side in particular. And it went from noticeably annoying to uncomfortable. So she sent me for my first ultrasound. And the technician is really not supposed to tell a patient what they're seeing, but I think this one broke code because she said to me, I have a bunch of little small cysts. So I was diagnosed with the cyst thing. But then it had me thinking, were these misdiagnosed or went unnoticed and these cysts turned into fibroids? Was being on the pill on and off since the age of 18 years old the culprit here? Because it is fake estrogen that you're pumping into your body. But this was the first of many known unknowns. Everything we eat, drink, and breathe affects our body in the short and definitely the long term. And it baffles my mind that people who have spent decades studying the human body could think otherwise. So you got to stand up for your knowledge of your own body in these circumstances. So here's what doctors won't tell you. The second culprit, right? This is like all the things that I went through. Sore boobs. you know, as females, we accept period symptoms as normal and par for the course, not realizing the bigger picture or the reasoning behind them. Nina Girl advice number one, sore boobs are not cute, not cute to any woman. And when your body gives you the signals, it's for a reason. So I came to realize that sore boobs is a sign of high estrogen. Huh. And I'm talking way after the fact. Yes, it wasn't until my mid-30s I realized 1 month it was sore, then 1 month it wasn't, and it was like cyclical. And it has to do with a lot of the food that you intake. And you know how we are just PMSing the week before and we want to eat sugar, 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 chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. But this signal was used as my curtain call, letting me know that my period was coming. So I knew if I had these symptoms a week prior, I'm like, okay, it's coming. Culprit number three, I used to eat a lot of soy. Especially when it was the rage, like soy milk, tofu. I couldn't have enough, not realizing unless it's like plant soy, it's not good for me, especially as a Black woman. Like, dairy is not meant for us people. Any Black people of any descent listening, dairy is not good for you. Big mistake. The end result is it just takes estrogen to another level by increasing your levels. Yeah. So birth control, culprit number four. I'm not a doctor, but I'm educated enough to know that the pill pumps estrogen into your body. You feel me? So if you're in that menopause phase of your life, yes, you're losing estrogen. And they will often give you the pill to fake out your period with synthetic estrogen. So since you're losing it, and the whole purpose of the pill is to pump more into your body, well, estrogen controls these fibroids. So they will quickly write that script for you, which is not a good thing. Culprit number four, food intake. I want you to get into a place of balancing your hormones through food. I am an advocate of eating for your blood type, like I mentioned earlier. But look, there is a don't list of foods that will spike your estrogen levels and throw off your hormones. You know this, right? And if you don't know what that don't list is, you need to subscribe to ihavefibroids.com and join my email list. These are the list of the biggest offenders. Number one, caffeine. I know you don't want to hear it, but trust me, I love my salted caramel lattes from Starbucks and anything espresso. Now I narrow it down to 1 to 1 month, if even. And no dairy. Well, you heard earlier that that's a no-brainer. I stopped that when I was in my tweens. But none, absolutely none, because that's more hormones than you need. You need to eat organic chicken, organic meat, period. Forget the pork, forget the beef, or use it in moderation if you have to have it, period. Alcohol, it throws off your hormones, totally off, especially if you're in that menopause zone. Just saying, you just want to curb your appetite right there. Sugar, estrogen feeds off sugar. So the more sugar you put in your body, the more they're going to grow. You know, and sugar's in everything, but when I'm saying sugar, I'm saying processed sugar. Fried foods, processed foods, no, you shouldn't even be eating that on a regular. But once you start my recipes, you'll notice you will not crave sugar like you did before. You won't think twice about it. Like, you'd really only, it would have to be like your own self-inflicted pressure, whether it's around the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Culprit number, am I at five? I hope so. But it's pooping. Mm-hmm. If you're not on a regular poop schedule, like I'm talking once, twice a day, then you're feeding your estrogen even more. And, you know, when I think about my late 20s, I wasn't pooping on a regular, like I'm talking every 2 days. And some people in their books might say that's normal, but it's not. You know, I didn't start that regular pooping schedule until I was in my 30s and realized what the heck was going on. And what I was experiencing was adult acne. Because, you know, if your body can't excrete your poop, it's going to try to excrete it through your skin. And so if you are a grown-ass adult, when I add the ass, that means you're 25 and over, and you have like cystic acne, if you have uncontrollable acne and you're just putting topical stuff on it and it's not working, it's because you have to treat your inside first. All these culprits that I talked about leads to an estrogen dominant body. So when you're not pooping and you're eating junk food, you're on birth control, you're drinking dairy and coffee and alcohol on a regular, oh, you're just making yourself a candidate even more. And then once you have fibroids too, pooping becomes difficult. Depending on how big they are, we're uncomfortable. Or you're just going to the bathroom, you have to pee a lot if you drink a lot of liquid. So my symptoms are probably your symptoms, so that's why I'm sharing that. And here are some of the band-aids I learned to get you through some of those epic, embarrassing moments. As I told you before, day 2 is typically the heaviest day for any woman with a regular period. That's normal. But what is not normal is this. Well, for any woman with fibroids, day 2 resembles an uncontrollable dam. I mean, I've had 3 public accidents where women stopped me. I'm talking complete strangers. And had to say, like, you know, you have a red spot on your pants or something. Or I just had to leave work altogether because either I had no supplies or I just was wearing the type of clothing, light colored clothing, that I couldn't mask it. I had to get home. So what are the band-aids? And as you already know, peeing frequently is one of them. And you know, going to the bathroom to do a number 2 is so difficult and uncomfortable, especially if your fibroids are large in size. So if you opt not to go the surgery route, your new reality is altering your daily lifestyle in order to avoid the knife. And that makes 2018 a fresh start goal, and that being is to lower your estrogen levels. So how do we achieve that? Well, we're going to do it through food. I've given you my culprits. And like I said, my culprits are probably yours. And the foods to avoid, you will learn more about that. And everything in moderation and timing. And you got to stop feeding your fibroids and balance your hormones internally. Now it's time for your self-care regimen. Here's where I'm going to give you 3 easy breezy recipes and 1 bonus regimen. And I'm going to break you in slowly because the last thing I want is for you just to fall off the wagon so early in the year. And I've made it really easy for you. You just head on over to www.ihavefibroids.com and get your free download. You're going to have to factor in using the CAPTCHA. So just pay attention to that. You want to press the visitor's access and then enter the CAPTCHA code. So these are my joy juices. And I have 1 meal recipe. Okay, joy juice number 1 is the green BFF. You're going to need aloe vera juice, lemon, watercress, honey, spinach, mint, liquid chlorophyll, Barleyan greens powder or any greens powder, and some red or green grapes. I personally prefer red grapes, but you want to switch it up. Maybe one day use red, one day use green, and similarly, one day you use spinach, the other day use kale. I do recommend dandelion. It is bitter, so you want to make sure you use a little bit, or at least maybe make a tea out of it and soak it in water, hot water, put it in the fridge and use that as a tea to drink. Add some lemon, honey, and mint, and you're good. I think the key when you're drinking green is you have to add complementary ingredients. So just keep that in mind. Joy juice number two is beet it. If you can't beat them, you got to join them drink. It's a half a beet, a half to one lime, handful of grapes, one teaspoon of honey, mint, and a handful of kale. So the beets, I'll be honest, there's a kind of aftertaste to them when they're raw. So you want to kind of ante up on the lime, the mint, and the grapes, even a lemon if you don't like lime. And respectfully, if you don't like lemon, use the lime. But that cleans out your liver and that helps remove estrogen from your body as well. Then lastly, we have hail to the kale sexy Caesar salad, right? Because I'm bringing sexy back with kale. You're going to love this one, I promise. So what I do here is I buy the Cardini's Caesar dressing. I use half, I guess, 1 to 5 squirts of lemon. I get Parmesan or Parmesan crisps. I saute mushrooms. And on the side, I might cook some brown rice and quinoa. So you want to cook the rice in the rice cooker separately or boil your quinoa and put it aside. But you're going to saute the kale and mushrooms over the stove for like 5 minutes. You could use coconut or olive oil. Once it's sauteed, and I mean not long, I'm talking 5 minutes or less, but you pour it on the plate, you mix it in with your rice or your quinoa, and you pour the dressing. And if you don't like your salad wet, then add the rice later. But I usually pour the Cardini's dressing over the kale so that it's semi-crunchy. It's not soggy. I don't like my stuff soggy, and neither do you. And then you drip some kind of lemon juice for that extra tang. And then you add the Parmesan crisps or just Parmesan and drizzle olive oil over the salad. And then you like put it on a bed of rice. You know, I like brown rice because it's hearty. Again, fiber removes estrogen too. And those will be your starter recipes. And now for the bonus regimen. Castor oil. And I'm not talking for your hair. You want to buy a bottle of castor oil. After every shower, you're going to add and rub castor oil on your lower abdomen where your fibroids are. And if you have a heating pad, even better, because you add heat to your stomach for about 20 minutes. So it's good to do it when you're going to bed, naturally in the morning, if you have time, then, you know, add the heat to the stomach. It is kind of messy. So don't wear a silk top. Don't wear a white blouse because it's just going to gush right through it. So make sure you wear some granny panties that day. That way, you know, it gets a chance to absorb into your underwear. Okay, so this is going to sound cliche, but again, your new BFF is the color green. And it's truly your best friend and fights estrogen that your body is holding on to. That's your new protector. Because remember, estrogen loves sugar, dairy, caffeine, meat, and alcohol, girl. 2018 is a new year. So you want to download this stuff. And more importantly, you want to ask your OBGYN at your next annual appointment this year these questions. Ask them, just compare. I want you to compare. Ask your doctor about the whole sore boobs thing and what it means. You might want to consider other safer birth control options. Listen to my episode with Dr. Biden. You might want to consider IUD. That's what she recommends. But again, every situation is different, and have that conversation with your OBGYN. Number three, I just learned of this. Was it the end of last year? Thermography is an alternative to a mammogram. And naturally, if you have a history of breast cancer in your family, you want to continue to have this mammogram. But thermography is this natural way of detecting where estrogen is in your body. And it shows you a mapping, right? It's a colored heat map of where the estrogen is in your body. And then they prescribe, you know, regimens for you. So I think this is cool. I think every woman owes it to herself to do this at least once in her life to understand at different stages and ages of your life what's happening. Number four, you need to learn your blood type. You need to ask your doctor to identify what that is. And this will help you avoid the foods that you are biologically meant to stay away from. And then lastly, incorporate these things in your diet: iron, magnesium, flaxseed oil, and B12. They are staples, especially once you turn 30. Do not go through this year without those bad boys. Granted, iron, there's one that the OBGYN prescribes. I think it's called Ferrol, and it doesn't constipate you as bad, but you have to either way drink a lot of water. I'm just telling you. Otherwise, it just is a double whammy as far as going to the bathroom. But that's another edition of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. You know I keep it real. I keep it true, people. Don't I? Tune in a couple of days because I am launching the 100 shop. But you got to go on my website and check it out. I want you to check it out and let me know what you think. But more importantly, be social with Nina. Hit me up on Snapchat, Twitter, join the Keep It 100 Girl page, and you can find my handle at Nina Babel on the universe, on the interwebs. So check me out. Also, please rate and review my show. I'm on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Auto Radio, and Google Play Music. So I'm everywhere. You can't avoid me, because Nina Girl is watching you. But that concludes another week of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. I'm going to keep it real, keep it true. And the next episode, in fact, next month is Love Month. Duh. I'm going to be talking 50 Shades of Love, people. Everything Valentine's and Galentine's. So tune in. Smooches.